And we'll start off with Adam Bonzer, and then we'll approach him, and we'll continue. So the first question is like this. More often than not, when a kid is a lower-level learner, they simultaneously experience some form of apathy toward learning. What ways have been effective for you to diminish this sort of mindset?
Okay, shalom to everybody. Bechod my Rebbe, Rav Herschel. What does it mean to help diminish the mindset of ineffectiveness? So, it's important that we realize that everyone has different abilities, different capacity. This is true in sports, this is true in academics. Everyone has different abilities. And what we're trying to find is, when we're teaching, is we're trying to find the groove, which is the right balance between a good challenge, how challenging something is, and a person's abilities. And if you find that right balance, if you find that groove, so then somebody can really enjoy what they're doing. If it's too challenging, for example, when my 8-year-old son wanted to play basketball, it didn't really work because he just simply didn't have the physical strength to throw the ball to the 10-foot hoop. It didn't work. So it wasn't a good game, and he was getting frustrated by it. So we went to one of those lower hoops, and that worked for him. It was the right balance between challenge and ability. And that's what we're trying to find. One of the things that I find to be very important is, especially when teaching, I don't know if this is referring to what's going on in camp or we're referring to in general, but I find it's really important when we're trying to be careful. It's very important to help our students and our friends and our children challenge themselves, find the challenge where it's a little bit beyond their difficulty, but not too difficult, so that they can appreciate and enjoy the experience of overcoming. This is described by a psychologist named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, that's his last name. He writes in his book called Flow, it's a famous book, that if we find that right groove right there, then that's the state of flow, where you're enjoying the challenge. And we all know what that is, because everybody here has, if you're here teaching or learning, or you've had that experience where when you were challenged enough, but you were also capable of succeeding within that challenge, you actually enjoyed yourself and felt good. And what we're trying to do, really, I think, with my students, is what I'm trying to do, is trying to help each guy find his groove, find that space between his abilities and what the right level of challenge is. If you do that, then they can really feel good about themselves. You set up a challenge that they can't achieve, they can't overcome, then what does a person feel? He feels diminished, he feels demolished, he feels destroyed. And if it's too easy, if you give someone a challenge that's too easy, so how does he feel? Bored. Right? We've all had that. So it's the right balance between challenge and ability. That's what I find to be very helpful. Practically, though, there are beliefs. If a person has beliefs about themselves which are negative, is a negative view on himself, so that you need some deeper work to work with that. Because sometimes that deeper negativity, even if he does accomplish one thing, he says, yeah, fine, so I did that, but overall, I stink. So what do you want from me? So that's already a deeper question, which maybe you'll save. Yeah, Herschel.
Just repeat the here's some of the question.
Yeah, exactly. Here's some of us. More often than not, when a kid is a lower level learner, they simultaneously experience some form of apathy toward learning. What ways have been effective to diminish this sort of mindset?
What does that work? Meaning, don't make learning the most important thing at that point in his life. I deal very often in yeshiva with lower level, less motivated guys generally in the morning. Don't worry, those two guys weren't in this year. And I'm trying to, you know, it sounds very cliche, but you're trying to build people. I don't think you're trying to build B'nai Torah. You're trying to build the guys up. You're trying to create, meaning when the goal is learning, it's impossible. If you tell a guy success or failure is just in your learning, or in terms of how well you daven, or what time you show up to davening, or how often you go to shiur, or how nice you are to people. So then you've given them. There's if he's weak in learning, again, obviously you try to get him to be strong. Nobody's denying that. And obviously, my end goal would be I would love for my talmidim to be able to walk away learning Gemara and Baruch Hashem, and many of them do. And they sit and learn Basmada. But my personal mahalach has been, and some people disagree with me, and many people disagree with me, but my personal mahalach has been is build them in every other way. Tell them, show them love, show them how much you care about them. When somebody's loved, usually, very often from Bamser probably can speak about this a little bit more than the therapist is, but when a person, very often a person doesn't feel good about himself, very often I come together with not feeling loved by people. And when a Rebbe or when a person showed them, I care about you, you're important. And yes, you know, if you're weak at learning, and learning is the only way to determine how strong you are as a Jew or how motivated you are, so then it makes sense to not. I would just say maybe don't stress learning. I personally, on Kolo, with a lot of guys, I don't care about learning videos. I really just I don't care if they know one thing that happened to another since the summer. I don't care. It's not if a guy walks away thinking that he wears Rabbeinu Tam tefillin and not Rashi tefillin, or if a guy thinks that Tchelas is purple or green, I'm fine with that. I really don't care. If a guy walks away with a little bit of a different understanding of what Yiddishkeit is. And so my goals are just totally different. So I would just say, for a lot of these guys, they need to be learning Gemara right now. They'll get there. They'll mature. They'll grow up. They'll see that this is our Masorah. But except, I'm assuming we're talking about 16-year-olds. We're talking about 16-year-olds. We're not talking about 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. And build them as people. They can feel good about themselves as people who they are. Just let them see their greatness. You know, both of you guys are pretty good at what you do. You guys were chosen to be Madrichim for a reason. If a Madrich looks at me, I'm like, he likes me? This is very key, I always say. The key to raising children is not loving your children. It's liking your children. You don't have to love your children. Everybody loves their children. But do I like to be around my children? Same thing with Talmidim, same thing with your guys. Do you just care about them because they're just Jews and this is my job? Or do you actually like the person they are and you like being around them? I think that's a very important thing. I think that's a very important thing to
The second question is that these types of guys, these types of lower level learners, can often be the center of attention in the respective high schools. If I wasn't like that in high school, I was like a popular kid, what ways can help me connect to them?
Are you saying when you learn or even unmotivated again?
Both. You guys can cheat right out.
Just one more time, and I thought I was going for a try. You know, I only pay attention for some
of that. Some of the guys who are either lower level learners or unmotivated, they're usually the center of attention in high school, more popular. So if I wasn't like that in high school, how did I connect to them?
So I'll say two words, and I speak to that as a strategy all the time. If there's one person that I look up to more than anybody else, in everything I do, it sounds like Rabbi Kamansky. He is a person I honestly have no clue. I don't know if you guys know Rabbi Kamenetsky, but he's my Rebbe, he's my role model in many ways. Again, I have other Rebbe too, but he's my person I looked up to as a Rebbe. And I don't think he was a crazy kid. I don't think he was wild in high school. I'm sure he wasn't. I don't know if he was. He definitely didn't play hockey. Yeah, he probably doesn't know the rules of hockey, and I played hockey. Understanding somebody and caring about them is nothing. By the way, many kids aren't like their parents either. Many kids, many of us, are not like our parents. My father is not athletic. I mean, not that I'm so athletic, I just play one sport. My father never, and relating to somebody, you're trying to relate. I think we're trying to relate to something a lot deeper. We're not trying to relate to the actions a person does. You know, my rebellion, I remember, I say this to Rabbi Kamenetsky sometimes. I remember he went to our games, and I'm not going to call out other rebellion, but I remember there were other rebellion that went to our games. And I felt like it mattered to them if we won or lost, because they cared about the game. They were fans. Rabbi Kamenetsky wasn't a fan of fans. He was a fan of his Talmidim. He may not have even known the rules of the game. He may not have known any of the rules of the game. He probably does now, by now. But loving your Talmidim, I don't think I don't think Rav Schefter, I don't think that Rav Torsky, I don't think Rav Sachs, whoever it may be, I don't think Rav Yosef Elephant from the Mirror necessarily can relate to us in the sense of the things we do. But all of us need security. All of us need to be loved. All of us need to have somebody who says to us, you can do it. And I don't think that, don't think that just because this guy is Mr. Cool and he plays sports, that, oh, he'll only relate to me if I play sports. Or if I, well, I was always a motivated guy. I was always a good guy. I was always a solid guy who just did the right thing. You know, I went to high school. I went on Kol in the summer. I went to a good yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I was always a good kid. So like, I don't get this guy. Why can't he just like stop drinking, or why can't he just put the jewel away, or just don't leave it on your bed after you use it? Just like at least put it in your pocket after you use it, and you just like wonder. It doesn't make a difference. If you see a yid, if you see a child, one of your children. When you see your children, you don't choose to love your children. Everybody loves their children. And guess what? Not all your children are like you. Because you see that he's your child, he's your family. Your brother, he's not like you, you care about him just because he's your brother. And every guy, every one of you guys is awesome at what you do. Again, like I said, you were picked to be Majrim. That's Hashem. You guys put that on your shedderies and resumes. You know, like you were a Majrim, and he's like, oh, and guess what? There's a reason. Because it's not because you can relate to him. It's not because you necessarily relate to every guy. It's because you can relate to people.
Wow, so good. I should be taking notes. I'm going to piggyback off of what Rav Hirsch said. It's a good thing it's being recorded. You're going to listen again. There's one very important thing that I think we need to remember as our job as mentors, as mechalkin, as madrichim, which is that we will never be able to fully relate to somebody's experience. Famous Chazal, Hamidanas Kol Adam Mechazkos, like Kol HaAdam, which is against another Mishnah Nevos, which says that a person can only judge someone, or you should not judge someone, Achet Tagil and Komo, until you get to a spot. It's impossible. You'll never be in a spot. The point is that judging someone is a very dangerous activity because you can't fully know anybody. So it's a word that I like to use and try to encourage when I work with parents or when I speak to Mechamchim, and that is the word curiosity. To be genuinely curious, when you're working with a young 15, 16-year-old, they should get the impression that you're curious about them. You want to learn about them. I happen to love the word curious because curious is non-judgmental. If you're curious, you're not judging it. You're not saying, oh, you use your phone for 8 hours a day? That's not a curious question. A curious question is, oh, what do you do on your phone for 8 hours a day? That's a curious question. And we have to be so careful about not judging. And there is a disparate element when we're talking about madrichim, who clearly succeeded in the yeshiva experience, and 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds who have no interest in learning. There's a distance there. But we can bridge that distance not by experience, not by having been there, oh, I was there. There's a great expression my talmidim love to tell me, which is stark but
relatable.
Okay, so they didn't just make it up. Okay. So stark but relatable. Oh, that Rebbe, he's so relatable. It's a mistake to think that you need to be perfectly relatable. You don't need to be perfectly relatable. Oh yeah, I was there, I did that. Oh yeah, yo man, see, why? Oh, back in the day. It's not so helpful. It's not as helpful as people think. It's not as helpful. In fact, it's not helpful. When I was a younger Rebbe, didn't have a beard, and I thought it was so important to be relatable, to express what I had, not expressed directly, because that's us here, but to talk about, you know, that I get you, I get what you've been through, because I was once in high school, and what I noticed was a trend, was that when the guys that I was teaching, my Shana Aleph guys, when they went to Shana Bet, it just, the connection was severed at that point, because what happened when they got to Shana Bet? They said, oh, that's not a Rebbe. A Rebbe is not somebody who's done Averis. A Rebbe is somebody who's a Kamalach HaSharis, like the Gemara says. They want someone who they can relate to on a higher level, someone who's spiritually up there, someone who's strong in his Avodas Hashem. As a Rebbe, as a Madrich, we do want to be strong in our Avodas Hashem, but they should never get the feeling that we're judging them, that we're putting them down. Once they have that feeling, it's almost impossible to remove it. They should always have the feeling that we're interested in them. We're interested in their challenges. We're interested in their successes. We're curious about their experience, which is going to be so different than ours. If I had to have experience, I'm sorry, one last sentence. If I had to experience everything that my clients have been through, then I would have been hospitalized many times, and I would have been locked away, because they've been through some very, very fascinating, things in their lives, and some of them really, really profoundly horrible. And it's a good thing that I didn't go through that when I was younger. It's a good thing. But I hope they genuinely walk away with a sense that I am willing and interested to learn about that entire experience. You do that, then you can talk to anybody. It doesn't matter what you did in high school. It doesn't matter if you were cool or nerdy or a good mixture, combination of the two. It doesn't matter. Because you're available to hear what they have to say.
This one's a little bit long. Many of us use the let's be friends first approach with not only these types of guys, but you know, in general NCSYs or campers, in order to make them feel very comfortable. However, sometimes this approach is emphasized so much that they lose the opportunity to matzichem or the rebbe, and they end up losing the opportunity to develop the lichachiva blend of being both their friend and rebbe / madrech. Should the approach be different, given the risk of falling behind with the chinuch side, or kept the same because being a friendly figure is always a safe bet?
I know your answer.
So you go first.
Okay. So
any minute you my answer.
Sir Herschel is going to say, relationship is key. It's key. It's essential. It's essential. One of the lines I like to use when talking about the mitzvah of Tovlecha, I'm working with my guys my shir, the mitzvah of Lashon Hara, we talk about that in pre-shir. And I always find that to be valuable because everyone kind of knows it's wrong and dirty. It's gross to talk Lashon Hara. Everyone kind of gets it. You don't need to be so spiritually uplifted. So I talk to them about that. But one of the mitzvahs that the Chafetz Chaim discusses is the mitzvah of Hocheach Tocheach Hesemisach. You have to get mussar. You have to tell a guy off, like, you can't talk Lashon Hara now. And nobody likes that guy. Nobody likes him. Don't be that guy who's just going around saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So how do you, the question that these guys ask is, so how do we do it? How do we tell somebody, don't speak Lashon Hara? So one of the things, the lines that I like to use is that you need to be invited in to really challenge someone. They need to want you, they need to bring you into them and say, okay, give it to me. If you just come from the outside and slam them with a, you should be different, you're not going to get anywhere. This is true about on every level of chinuch. So, if you're not their friend, if they don't care about you or they don't think that you care about them, they're not going to invite you in. They're not going to let you give it to them real. So maybe you'll have given over one, the difference between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi Tzilin, maybe, maybe. And maybe they'll remember that because you gave a good story to go together with them. But for the real stuff, the real deep chinuch, that only happens when they have invited you in. Rabbi Davar Orlovsky said it much funnier than I'm going to say it. Rabbi Davar Orlovsky Shlita was speaking at a Sheva Brachas that I was at, and he said the following line. He spoke about what is chinuch. He said the word chinuch is from the word chanukah, chanukah samizbeach, chanukah samishkan. Which is to consecrate something, to say that it is something special, to say that it is something important. We can't give over any Torah if the person sitting in front of us doesn't believe that we believe that they are important, that they are worthy, that they are special. It just doesn't work.
So I think it depends what kind of guy you're talking to. I don't think that if you're coming to YU and you're going to Rav Schachter's shir, you're expecting to have a Rebbe who's going to be your friend. Obviously, like Rav Shag said, Kesher is essential. Aryeh Leibowitz is always speaking about his Kesher. Rav Shag, it's not just Shag, you know, it's a life mahal that he's got from him. But it really depends. I would say for most Madrichim, give up on the Chinuch aspect. Don't give up on it forever. Right now, again, it depends on which guys you have. But you know, when I come up with lines like "flush the nosh," or I have lines similar to those, and I speak about girls, or I speak, I don't have a habanina in the world. I don't. That one guy. I don't even think one guy will stop talking to a girl because of anything I've ever said. One of those lines I've ever said. It's shtick. It's shtick. I try to get them into what, the reason I do that is only because it's geschmack, it's fun, you know? So now their jokes, instead of being about some movie they have, their jokes are about Flash the Nash. Like, you know, I always tell guys, I think like getting guys into herring is awesome. You know why? Because I mean it. Now every guy is different. But there's something like, yeah, so now learning becomes shtick. There's a culture. There's the things we get used to. The jokes they make now are a little bit about things that are a little bit more, first of all, not just more appropriate. But when they go to Eretz Yisrael, I mean, because we're talking about campers now, they go to Eretz Yisrael, you know what? They have certain musagim in their heads. They have a guy they looked up to. They have a guy that they see. Now, yes, obviously, you have a guy who's already asking you, you know, here is Madrich, and he's saying, and I'm sure some of you guys have that. And he's in a top, he's in an 11th grade, he's in a top shir. He's going to be, and he's already motivated. He's trying to learn a little bit more, and he really has real questions. Of course, then you'll have to. Well, I'm pretty much in the impression that we're not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the guys because I thought this was about the little less motivated guys. But just be their friend. I'll tell you, even tell me them in yeshiva. There are some guys in yeshiva I probably never gave them any bit of mussar for an entire shana aleph. I may not have given them a shana bet. And there was one couple. And the same thing. There was a couple. I gave the chassan's chassan classes, and the kala, in order to bring her into our world, because she, you know, I'm a little bit more yeshivish, she came from a little bit more like, you know, modern, and also the seminary she was going to, and she was a little bit in the beginning, she was a little bit nervous. Then she got to know me, she got to know my wife, and every shayla they asked me, again, it was calculated, I'm not saying this is a mahalach necessarily for everybody. Anytime I could be makeup with something, with any shayla they would ask, I'm not opposing, but if it was something which was beferish, any time there was something to be makeup about, I told them, don't try to be machmir. Then they asked me another. Then finally a question came, and I needed to put my foot down, and I told them, no, you can't do it, and it was something big. And I told them, no. It was a year and a half of being close to the couple. And the makeup, and I don't mean that, just building a keshel, let them know that I care about them. And it's not just about, there's no ulterior motives here. You know, it's not about getting your guys to want to learn. It's not about getting you guys to be from. It's not about getting you guys to be from. If you have that mentality, that like my whole goal is just to get you from, there's a wall there. If your approach is, I care about you, I love you. Again, I keep on using this, but again, this is just part of what this is what I believe. This is the reason I went to chinuch. But if you know that, you know, you're my brother, and I care about you. So out of, They want to come back to you. They trust you. They really do trust you because they know you care about them. So it could be being his best friend for a year, for the next year is even great. And then when he's ready, I have a guy, when I was a senior in high school, they had this thing called Chaburas on Fridays. And there was one guy that was learning in Yeshiva, that was learning in Chayashev. He was, when I was a freshman, I remember he was a senior, not in my school. He was a freshman senior after, I knew who he was. The hockey team is this, that, whatever. And I remember, I just knew who he was. And Rabbi Storch was a Rebbe in there. He's like, I'm getting you a Chabur guy, but I had to beg him to do it. He didn't want to do it, but I had to beg him to do it. And because he didn't have time, he worked it out just for you. This guy, I don't know if I learned one word with him, but I just looked at him and I was like, I just want to be like you. And I ended up going to OJ where he went. I ended up going to Shagashav afterward, where he went. It wasn't because he told me to go. It was, I looked up to him. And I saw who he was, and I wanted to be like that. That can sometimes have the biggest impact on your guys. And I would say, for the guys that were dealing with, not the guys who forego the chinuch, just get close to them. That's my personal opinion. Again, I'm not saying that people would argue with me, but it's my approach.
Okay, so we're going to ask one more question, and then we'll open the floor to anyone else. This question is really inside the Madrasa and the Rebbe. Often when dealing with someone who's less motivated, perhaps with a individual who really does not like being involved religiously, so the madrech will end up feeling poorly about themselves, and ultimately they'll feel like, you know, they're not cut out for perhaps guys who are more motivated and more aggressive with their learning. So how does one avoid falling into that sort of trap?
I'll take this one because I think Shragi is going to have something a little bit more profound to say than myself. I'm sure he's
got one.
I'll just say it quickly. Don't think that way. When I have a good shear, it's not me. When my guys do really well, it's not me. When the guys don't do well, you know, again, what other people call up. Every guy is different. And you have no clue, especially now. Especially with school. You have no clue. You ever wonder, like, it's so not fair. You're a babe in high school, put in so much work, so much time, so much effort. And then you go to Israel and then within 3 months you're like already like this from you're already like, you know, you flipped out, you're already wearing your tzitzis out, you're already coming to davening 15 minutes early, you're already going, does Shalom still do this thing? Is that still the thing? You ever played, remember that? Okay, fine, whatever. You're already one of those guys, you know, you got to shoot, and you're just like, everyone, oh my gosh, you gotta feel bad for these rebellion. They put in all the work and everybody else gets the credit, you know? You know, Shalvin gets the credit, Reshit gets the credit, Nativ gets the credit, all these yeshivas get the credit, and those rebellion put in so much work. You have no clue. You have no clue what you're planting. And again, but it also has to be, you have to realize that it's not about what they accomplish now. By the way, you mean you don't know? I've had Talmidim who've only really started getting really from and weren't even started really maturing a few years later. You have no clue what's you, what's not you. We don't do this. I'll tell you. If any of you guys are planning on going to Chinuch, I'll tell you the one thing not to do. One way to burn out is to look at your success and your failures. If you look at where you're successful, where you're failing, you're gonna burn out. It's gonna be too much. It's gonna be too much on you. It's gonna be too much of a load to hold on to yourself. It's gonna be, you can take it personally when guys come into your shir, leave your shir. When guys come to your chabura, leave your chabura. When a guy's in your chabura, but he was on somebody else's basketball team and he's closer with him. If that's how you look at success, all these type of things. If you look at success as something which is really measurable, you're gonna burn out. But what you realize that you're doing is you're doing the malach of Hashem. When you realize that I'm really doing this just because this is what Hashem gave me a koach, I have an ability, and therefore I'm just going to do whatever I can, and you realize that every second I do this, it's an amazing thing. That's the only way to succeed.
So that's what Rav Hirschel said is right on target, and we have no idea what success and failure means, klapei Shemaya Galia. Only Hashem really knows where the success is, so for us to gauge ourselves based on who is wearing their tzitzis out, or wearing tzitzis at all by the end of the summer, it's a mistake. When I think about my high school rebam, it's already many years ago. When I think about my high school rebam, I don't remember very many of the divrei Torah that they taught me, or the shtick. I don't remember much of anything. But I can think about the personalities and the relationship, and the dmus, which means the persona that they represented, and it had an effect on me. And did it have an effect on me through high school? Not so much. But once I got to Eretz Yisrael, and once I started learning, and once it all added up to one package, and I think that's what Rav Hirschel was saying, how valuable it is. On the other hand, don't assume that everything you're doing is great. Don't assume that you're the best madrich in the history of NCSY Kolo. Ask a ton of questions. Not to me, per se, but to the other madrichim who've been doing this longer than you, to your rebbeim. Ask. You're young, and this is the time to learn, and this is where you shouldn't feel bad at all to acknowledge your mistakes. This is the right time to make mistakes. Don't make the mistakes for 20 years, saying, oh, I wish somebody would have corrected my baseball stance. Or some of my golf swing. Now is the time to make the change, because we know that practice makes permanence. It doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent. You keep doing the same thing wrong year after year, so it's going to be permanent that way. Now is the time to learn. So if you do something and you see it didn't have the right hit, it didn't work, so ask a rebbe, wait, was this the right thing? Should I have done that? Challenge yourself a little bit. This is the right time to challenge yourself. But if you did what was right, and you followed your instructions of the rebbeim and of the camp or the yeshiva, and you did what you felt was necessary and what was right, then even if the guy takes off his yarmulke and throws it away, you did what you were supposed to do, and trust me, the peros and the periperos might not come out for years and years and years. I have a Talmud who is... His father and grandfather aren't from, so he became from later on in life. And I wonder, and I've said this out loud, I've asked out loud to him, what schus did your father have or your father's father have? And what impact some Rebbe or some experience have on the family that gave a genetic predisposition for you to be on the derech. Because it doesn't happen out of nowhere. So the effects that we have, we may not see today or tomorrow, but the effects can be years and years later. And so we present ourselves as a demos, as a role model. We present ourselves as somebody who's worked on ourselves, but is not perfect. We never present ourselves as a perfect, Eved Hashem. And the effects are profound, even if we don't see them directly.
I just want to add one more thing. I just want to give, it's not even Musa really, but it's just, don't make a mistake. There's one mistake that many guys make. You come back after a Shana Aleph, after a Shana Bet, and you feel that if you're asking questions, or if you go to a friend of yours, who you may see as certain miles, you're afraid. You're afraid to ask him. You're afraid because maybe that means that I'm not as good as him. It's the worst meeting you could possibly have. You'll never learn. And the guys come back from Eretz Yisrael, I know that. I remember I was the same way. I remember that when I came back, I would, if I didn't know something, I wouldn't necessarily ask anybody. Why? Because I was supposed to be that Shtar Goje guy who flipped that. I'm like supposed to know Kol Torah Kula. And I was that guy. I was guilty of that more than most people. I saw the damage it did. I saw the damage it did for me. I could have been so much greater, so much quicker. And I'm not. And one of the reasons is because we're a little bit, you know, we're trying to show off to everybody else. We're trying to show off to everybody else that, like, I'm the successful one. Or, I went to this yeshiva, and you only went to that yeshiva. So, like, obviously, you know, like, I can't ask a guy who went to that yeshiva because what was all that work I put in high school and, you know, just to get into that high-level yeshiva worth if I'm just like every other guy who, if I'm just like that guy who went to this yeshiva. It's a terrible midah. It's not MS, and it's not as good for your midos, and it happens with me. I want you to know I'm going to say something that's it's going to sound... If you ask any Rebbe that in the yeshiva that I teach in, every Rebbe will tell you, any success that I've ever had, will tell you one mita. It came from one mita. I was a Makab. When I came to yeshiva, I said, I don't know anything. Teach me how to be a Rebbe. Guys, that's what all of you guys should be doing on some level. Just ask, and don't lose the gaiva. Because gaiva is the worst and it will hold you back in everything. I just want to share that because I experienced it. I personally experienced it. The gaiva and the looking for the company.
We probably have time for about maybe one question or so. Anyone wants to ask?
Go for it.
Does anyone else have a question?
No, nobody has a question.
It seems to be, I think there are a lot of guys in the room that could agree, might agree with this. I see, you kind of touched upon it a little bit before. And it could be there's like a goal, almost one of the goals, like your main goal. In high school, especially with the guys that we're talking about, for the most part, it's like more like just like get them to yeshiva, like get them there to Yisrael, and like hopefully like something will happen. Like not necessarily a yayush, but more of like especially like 11th to 12th grade, there's just like they're just chilling and like they're not even learning and like where they just want to fall all day or like you know if they end up in that yeshiva or if they go there in their Yisrael, so like hopefully like someone there will happen. Like how are we supposed to feel about like if the goal is just like get them to another place and just get them to move on as opposed to like build them up here? How are we supposed to feel about that? Like my dream possibly in the future.
I love this question. There are some guys in high school that really the goal is just get them to Israel without hating rabbis. It's really hard to work with guys who hate rabbis. So just get them there with a love for rabbinic people, that could be great. There are other guys that's not the case. They're not just getting them to Israel. Every Dvar Torah, we know this to be true, every Vart, every Rashi has an effect on a person's Shaman and has an effect on them. So everything that we teach them is valuable. And I don't think Rav Hershel was suggesting that therefore there should be no teaching, unless I'm wrong. It's okay to teach if it fits into the schedule. But it's not just about let's just get them to Israel without having done anything of worth at all. I think it's really important for us to realize that we have an impact on them that will build. And we're kicking the can up the road. I don't know if you've heard that expression before. We are. We can't save this kid. We're not doing CPR and this is it. Either he lives or dies based on my actions. It's not true. That's not what's going on. We are trying to build him in different ways, whether it's his nefesh or neshama, or We're trying to build him. And hopefully those stepping stones will lead him to being in this room one day. And that's what we're trying to do. It's not just to get to Eretz Yisrael, it's to keep building and building. And there's one point that I wanted to make, and I know that we don't have time, so just very quickly, is that 15, 16, 17-year-olds predominantly are not mature enough to have a real sense of personal responsibility. So it's not easy to really give them the reins and say, now grow in your Avodas Hashem because I've given you. When they get to Eretz Yisrael, that's really the beginning, and I'm sure you've seen that with yourselves. When I got to Israel, that's when I realized, whoa, I am responsible for my Avodas Hashem. Nobody else is going to do this but me. I'm the one who's responsible. So when we're working with 15 and 16-year-olds, there is a limit to how much we can just give them that sense of personal responsibility. But that is part of our job, helping them see that your choices matter. Your choices matter today, and they matter tomorrow, and they always matter. So it's not just about getting to Israel. It's about helping them build themselves up, that when they get to Eretz Israel, they will be able to take that as far as you guys.
I'll just say 30 seconds because I'm going to finish, but when I was in high school, I went to Israel, I didn't think the feeling was, oh, let's just get them to Israel and we don't do anything. I think it was more of a, let's get them that when they go to Israel, I knew what I wanted when I went to Israel. I knew what I wanted. It wasn't like I went to Israel saying, okay, we're here, you know, I'm ready to party and let's see what happens. If it happens, it happens. Very often, I feel like those guys don't really see Hatzlacha anyways in Israel. I think that the idea is, Rashad is right, I'm trying to be practical here. It's sad. It's a sad way of the world, which is that it's very hard to get a kid that's not motivated and that's not from to be from. It happens. But it just doesn't happen. So let's give him the tools and he can succeed when he goes. And he has people to speak to. And he has, wow, I remember that Rebbe. I want to be like that. You know, I have Tommy who come to Israel and they're like, I want to be like my father. So why haven't you done it until now? Doesn't make a difference, why not? The bottom line is he hasn't done it, and now he wants to do it. So yes, it's not just to get him to Eretz Yisrael, but it's like, okay, let's get him to the point where when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, he knows what he wants and he's going to go after it.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we should go on
to the next. Any questions, feel free.
Magic Coach, you guys are right now in the basement, just going to start
talking. Thank you very much.